Okay, those of you who came last year will remember that this is a meeting, really, although we've got a list of topics on there, this is a meeting without an agenda, or with an agenda that you set, really, or that we set. So we don't have to talk about all the things on that list. And there may be things that aren't on that list that we need to talk about. Really, I want to kind of like throw the floor open to anybody who wants to ask anything or say anything, who's got any comments or encouragements or questions that they want to kind of like throw at either the leadership or at Steve. But be gentle with Steve because he's not feeling very well. Just like to tell you that. So just be very, very kind to him. I'll stand in his way if you start, if you mean to him.
I've not fallen out with you, I'm just moving.
Yes, I know, I realise that. It's booming. So does anybody want to kick us off? Any thoughts, feelings, questions about church, how things are?
Everybody looks very worried. I'm just looking at John's face.
Anything. Just go on, Carol. Kick us off.
It was about the leadership structure of the team. Because, I know that some people went off to have like teaching on eldership and everything, and I just wondered how that had gone.
Yeah,
and
we shall. Do you want to deal with it in order, or should we? Want to deal with it now?
I thought we weren't necessarily sticking to the list.
Sticking to, okay. am I still booming on this? Does it sound weird? The reason we've got microphones is because it's been recorded, because the people who, there's quite a few people who are poorly, like Jeanette and Steph and etc., and they want to hear. Yeah, well, can you hear me without the speaker, do you think? Can you hear me, John?
Yeah.
Well, Carol... Do you want to keep... Just take me down. Just take me down a little bit, I think.
Why not?
Let's all harness. Right. So I'll tell you what, that would be the first question that we'll talk about. Is that okay, the leadership structure? Just before that, and it sounds like I'm moving, but I want to give you a context of why we do the meeting in this way. Because normally, every year, different churches will do their kind of annual general meeting in different kinds of ways. And I don't know, those that have been with CCB for some time will remember the VIP meeting. Do you remember the VIP meeting where everybody, basically Andy and Dave stood up and then they made you write reports and everybody, and they started shouting at you because you didn't have a report, and then it got all very stressful and it all got very difficult and Andy's shuddering. So what we wanted to do is there is some structure to it, we do want to give you some structure, because if you just say, ask whatever you want, it gets very silent sometimes. But we do want to give you an opportunity. It's a church family meeting, so it's not inclusive of members necessarily. It's anybody who's part of our church family. I really, really felt that we wanted to be included. And also, we will, as a leadership team, and I will give you some updates on things and where we are, because sometimes you won't always realise what's happening, what's changing in our church, or how the finances are, or how decisions are made. And sometimes it's not appropriate on a Sunday morning to go through all that. We do want to give you that, but we also wanted to make it really open to ask any question that you want to ask, because we really do feel as a leadership team that there's a real open door policy, really. So any of our leadership meetings, you're invited to come at any point. You can see any of the figures. There are notes and minutes for the leadership meeting. So as a leadership, we do want to be, we're not afraid of asking questions, really, or people asking questions of us. So we just felt, I think it was Angela's idea, actually. But the reason we're doing it in this format is to make it as flexible and as movable and as open as it possibly can be, really. So, I shall answer the question, leadership. So it says, leadership structure and team. So, does everybody sat here understand how the structure of the leadership works at Community Church Blackburn? Some of you will, some of you won't. There's a little bit of history. So previously, so in the past, Community Church Blackburn was run entirely by its elders. So effectively, there was Dave and Andy, and all the decision making that took place was entirely within the eldership. And really, outside of that, there would be a trustees meeting outside of that. However, it was really a little bit of a rubber stamp, I think, to whatever the elders had decided. Now, as we moved into a different situation, we obviously, as Andy retired and moved on, Rob Coleman, who is our oversight from New Frontiers and from Christ Central, felt it was very, very important, as though I was the only elder left standing, really, that there was a very, very strong leadership team put in place at the time. So we appointed, and it was actually done between me and Andy Parr. We really prayed about it, and we thought, right, who is going to be on this leadership team from that particular time and journey in the church. So I'm going to ask the members of the leadership team to stand up. So if you don't already know, these are the members of our leadership team. And that doesn't mean these are the only leaders in our church, but these are, outside of the eldership, the leaders of our team. Now that's a combination of trustees. So, for example, Gina and Angela were trustees already, and they were part of the trust of the church. You can sit down; you don't have to stand up. And Pete was for many, many years faithful trustee. So, a trustee really deals with the financial and the business aspect of the church, because as a church, it's an organisation that deals with an awful lot of money, really, and a lot of your money as well. So, it has to be very, very accountable and deal with it. So they've done that for a few years. Now, onto that, we've added, I think, Jeff as a trustee and Sylvanus as a trustee. So effectively what has happened is the leadership team are all trustees apart from myself and Lisa, which is the reason being, if there was an issue, because my employees officially are the trustees of Community Church Blackburn, and if there was a problem about employment, it would be very difficult for Lisa to be a trustee and fire her husband, really. So that's the... She
never said that on. I'll give you a few lessons later.
Yes. So as a church, that is where we stand. Okay, so we stand where we have a leadership team, which is effectively, I would say from a biblical standpoint, it's deacons. That's where we are, I would say. Deacons, and we have an eldership. The eldership presently is only one person, and that is not a biblical model at all. That's not how what our churches believe, and actually we don't work in that way because that's what our churches believe. We actually work in a way that we believe the Bible tells us to organise churches. So one of the we're not operating in a right way, and what's kind of ended up happening is you've got a kind of pastor of a church, which is me situation, and deacons at the moment, I would say. Now what we need to do, one of my big jobs this year and one of the real objectives over, not even this year but next year, is to raise up a team of elders, and that is really, really critical. That's a critical word, is team of elders. So Christ Central, now before I get into that, so how you appoint elders, I believe there's three ways. Okay, so they need to kind of tick three boxes. That sounds terrible, but there needs to be, in the appointment of elders, I might even go back further than that, actually. So elders are, I believe, are really, really responsible for specific areas in the church. So the spiritual life of the church, so the kind of church discipline, the doctrine of the church, the vision of the church, there's other very specific roles that are worked around elders, and they're almost shepherds of the church as well. So sometimes they have a stick and they bash. That's probably a bit Jeff, if he ever becomes an elder or whatever, but so there's a very specific role of eldership within the church, but it's quite a tough job, is eldership, and there's also some very, very specific characteristics of eldership that are set out very, very clearly in Scripture. And so if you go read Timothy 1, Titus, even Peter and things like that, there's quite, I mean, they are basic Christian characteristics, but actually an elder has to be such and such and such and such and such and such. So what there should be elders, I believe, in this church. There should be deacons, which is the leadership team, and then there will be other bits of leadership within the church. So my objective this year is to raise up that team of elders, and it will take as long as it takes, because one of the other things that the Bible says, it says don't be quick to appoint elders, which means I don't want to last forever, because it needs to be done. It's very, very important, but it's very, very important that it's done right. So over this year, Christ Central are doing a course, and it's effectively a road to eldership course. Now, at the end of this course, its objective is not to teach elders to be elders or appoint elders. It's to give any individual going to that course an idea of what eldership is in a really deep sense. It's to challenge things in individual lives, so it's really, they don't mess about, these guys, they are full on. And also actually to help people understand that there might be a situation where they're not elders, and that might be the situation in the guys that we're taking up. So a win for, I mean, they were very good, a win for this course is not necessarily everybody who goes to it becomes an elder. A win for this course is that the people know what eldership is, understand what eldership is, and understand where they fit in to that church. Because also eldership, there is a special kind of gifting as well for an elder. It's not a case of everybody's gifting. There is a very specific gifting for it. So the individuals that are going to this course, and it is once a month, is Jeff is attending, is Mr. B is attending this course, Sylvanus, myself, and Pete Smith. And those are the individuals who are attending this course at the moment. That does not mean that all of these people necessarily will be elders at all. It doesn't mean that they failed if they're not, but it doesn't mean that it's a big commitment for them, because it takes a lot of time, and I nearly killed them last time driving on the wrong side of the road. And I made one of them, two of them, quite sick because it's in Ambleside. But it's really a sifting process, and really to, so they know, because being an elder also is an awfully large commitment for individual. One of the qualifications for elder is time as well, and it's a really big commitment. So that's what one of the large pieces of work that I am going to be working at over the next year, really, and that's one of the real objectives, because really for Community Church Blackburn to grow and to thrive and to work biblically, we have to appoint elders, yeah, because it's not a cracking plan, just me doing it. It's a team effort. There are other questions as well about how the eldership team relates to the leadership team that will be, have to be worked out, and you know, there may be changes in the trustees and leadership maybe in light. The other thing that I have no intention of doing is not necessarily immediately once the course is finished appointing the leadership team. Actually, one of the things that I will be doing is bringing a team together that does eldership things, but before I put an appoint, I will, because it's about building a team. Yeah, that's very, very key. How you appoint an elder, and this is, it has to have three ticks, is effectively it needs to be overseen, and you know, the what we call the apostolic must be involved in that. So it almost wouldn't be part, we wouldn't appoint an elder unless the apostolic were comfortable and involved heavily in that process. So our apostolic would be, again, it would be Rob Coleman would be involved in that process, probably another guy called Graham Webb. And for example, when I was made an elder, I was grilled by Paul Basson. Really, look, you know, they're very, very aware. And I will be discussing every aspect of it as well with oversight and all the situations. So it needs to come from the apostolic and be sorted by that. It needs to become from the present eldership. So an elder is appointed by the present eldership. Now, in this situation, that is just me. But the other person who will be involved in it will be Andy Parr. Because I would consider he is almost like, because he was part of the last eldership, so he will be involved in that process as well. And then finally, the congregation will be involved in that process as well. Now, we're not like a Baptist church where somebody votes, and because somebody didn't get enough votes, we don't make that individual an elder. But obviously, you are going to be led by these elders. So your their authority comes from you as well, if that follows, you know. So if, you know, if there are not issues, but obviously you will be part of that at some point. So that's, as you see, that's a huge piece of work that he's doing, an important piece of work doing, and actually it will be one of the most important pieces of work that I do for Community Church Blackburn, and you know, it's so important that it's done prayerfully, wisely, and right. Because if you get it wrong, there are huge consequences for the future of Community Church Blackburn. And you know, it's very so pray for me in that. And the other thing is, I'm learning as well. So I don't know. I've never appointed an eldership team before. I don't know what I'm doing. So it's very, you know, so that is the huge piece of work that needs doing, and the outcome is that. Has anybody got any questions about that?
Does that answer your question, Carol? Yeah. So it's really, really important for everybody to pray. Actually, hopefully we'll put the. I think we did put the last one on. It was the night when we had a prayer meeting. We prayed for them. The prayer meeting prayed for them anyway. But it's once a month. It's the last Sunday of every month that they travel. So it'd be really, really good to pray for them all. That they sharpen each other up. Because it's an exploratory thing, really. Sorry?
That's the job.
Hey?
You have to lift the mic up.
Oh, right. Sorry. I'll lift the mic up, yeah. So it's an exploratory thing, really. Is that really clear for everybody? We did. Yeah,
I think. Well, you did obviously prayer because I was driving on the other side of the road. Yeah,
absolutely, they didn't think they were safe. Okay, anybody else with any
questions
any other
about
questions?
Leadership?
Yeah, about leadership or about anything else really? But leadership.
Go on, Daniel.
Go on. Jeff's got the roving mic.
Just out of curiosity, what goes on at the leadership meetings between?
So do you want me to answer? Yeah, so mainly we.
No, let me answer.
Go on.
Yeah, just to give you a bit of a break, really. Yeah. Okay. So, it's a mixture of agenda between kind of leadership things and trustee things. Okay. So from. Both leaders and trustees need to have an idea of the financial situation in the church. So at least part of the meeting will be to do with Gina presenting the figures for how the books are balancing and things. As trustees, we have to give account to the Charity Commission to say that everything's above board, and the accounts go off to the auditors, and me and Gina usually organise that, and they come back and kind of signed off and stuff. So there's kind of official reports like that that will happen. But a lot of the meeting is taken up with Steve bringing different things that are happening, or any of us could bring things that are happening that we want to kind of talk about, really. So a bit like the thing here, it would be that sort of thing, really. There might be sort of things about devoted and new day, maybe things about relationships with other churches, what's going on with Christ Central, what's going on with Rise. If there's difference, sometimes we think about how we're going to you know, giving from the church, you know, our tithe as a church, we think about that a bit. Was there anything that I've missed? But it's
so
pretty much like that.
So often the leadership needs to be aware of what is going on. So a lot of it is actually what is going on, because obviously hundreds of different interactions happen in this church very often, and it's very difficult to keep. So obviously you can't keep them updated on everything, but that's it. So the minutes are available for all the meetings apart from the last one, because they haven't typed them up yet. As I said, we run a really open house policy, so if you wanted to attend the leadership meeting, you would be more than welcome to attend, because it's quite different. So I think Francine attended as a guest, I think Mr. B attended as a guest, so anybody is welcome to attend. Obviously we couldn't have you all in my house all at one time, but it's a very open thing, but from a church point of view, it's like a deacon's meeting. That's the form that it has.
Any
other questions?
Okay, any more for any more leadership or anything else? Go on, Adam.
How do you work with the poor?
How do you work with the poor? Do you want to jump to that question? So not enough is probably the answer at this point. So my story a little bit is that I work for the ARC project with refugees and asylum seekers for 2 years, and in that time God effectively broke my heart for the poor, very, very much so, which wouldn't have been on my radar at all, really. It would have been all about really nice meetings and all sorts. So I do believe that God has a special place for the poor, and you do see Jesus spending a lot of time in compassion for the poor and doing things for the poor. Now, a lot of members of this church work in their capacity with the poor, or are involved with the poor. A lot of people. So there is a real desire. We see a lot of people coming here that are very often quite poor. They are, and it needs to be a church that is welcoming to the poor and welcoming, you know, to people who are messy, really, because that's life, and that's where we are in Blackburn. We're in the most difficult, you know, we're in a poor area, we're in the middle of town. It's interesting, most of healing on the streets very often is dealing and ministering to the poor. In our congregation, there are people that come from the ARC project very often, and the Iranian guys, who won't have houses. There will be one day when, in fact, they don't have houses. They don't have anywhere to live. There are members of families who don't, you know, so the poor is really around us. At the moment, one of my dreams and one of my missions, and it's involved, is really to have, I don't want to say to have a ministry for the poor, but to expand and have more of our ministry for the poor. So, I mean, like, one of the things that breaks my heart is a little bit is downstairs is a wonderful charity called Community Spirit, who do incredible things for the poor and do amazing things, and it's just a shame that they don't do them for Christ. You know, the church used to run the soup kitchen downstairs. You know, I'm not saying we run it, but as a church, I went devoted. There was a guy called Martin Charlesworth, and he was talking about getting the poor into the DNA of the church, or ministry to the poor at the DNA of the church. Now, in our situation, because we are an established church, because we've been here a long time, one of my jobs is to really make sure that the poor are in the DNA of the church. Now, how that actually works out and what we're going to do, I don't know yet. A lot of our giving from the leadership are very specifically giving to ministries for the poor. So, for example, when we give as a church, we give to Vineyard and give to the Children's Storehouse quite a lot. So that's very key in our thinking what we do. But one of the jobs, and as we grow as a church, if we grow as a people, our ministry to the poor must grow. It must grow, and that's wrapped up in part of this building, what happens where we live, that's all sorts of things, but it needs to be part of our DNA, it needs to be central, and we're already touching the poor in many, many ways, but like everything else, like we've been praying today, we need more, you know, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus spent time with the poor. He liked the rich people as well, and he spent time, but actually the ministry of compassion for people. So if you've got anything on your heart, I know one of the things is loneliness, and we need to pray for how that works out. That's the way we see the kingdom of God work, by ministry to the poor. So does that answer your question? I want to do it all. If it were me, I'd run everything on cap. I'd run a food bank if we needed one. I'd run everything that I possibly could in the world. But that's not wise, because we can't do that yet. But over time, if the church is part of the church growing, is our ministry to the poor growing? It's very, very important. It needs to be absolutely central when it's heart. Sorry, I might have spoke out of turn there, but that's what I feel.
It is. It's a massive, massive. Yeah. It's a massive area, because of course poverty is complicated. Yeah. It's not just lack of material things either. Sometimes it's being poor in spirit as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. And
coming alongside, that's the Hops does a lot of that as well, or that's it, the heart of Hops, yeah. I think. But one of the things, just a practical thing, that. We do, every month, the church sets aside 10% of its income to give away. Some of that is given to Christ Central, who put on things like Devoted and things to help them with their kind of stuff. But some of it is available for us to give to people who have need. So if you are aware of people who have need... and by definition, they will be poor in some way. And you feel that God's laid it on your heart, and that the church could bless them, and that that's the right thing to do, then please speak to one of the leaders, really, because we can release funds. We don't have like massive, massive amounts, like to buy a house or something, but we can release like hundreds of pounds, which might be enough for. We've recently given some money, haven't we, for somebody that Christiana knew who needed money for the children to go to a breakfast club, because she's having treatment for cancer and she can't look after them for very long. So that's sort of the sorts of thing that we can very well do. And people know that it's coming from the church. They know that Jesus cares for them. And, we're really, really happy to have people come and say, I'd really like to, the church to, bless or contribute to this. So please have that in your thinking.
Yeah. I'll be at Wesley Hall for the long term.
Ah, there you go.
Well, So, again, there's a bit of history and a bit of context. So, Community Church Blackburn, it's been all over the place. It's been up to Shadsworth. It spent a long time at Cross Hills and various places. And then it moved down into Blackburn Town Centre, into the Beacon Centre. I think we had two Beacon Centres, didn't we? We had a first one and a second one and whatever. And then we went through. So, one of the things... we have £100,000, which is penciled, and I'm going to say penciled, for a building. And they were given, so they were given in two lots. They were given one, a good, I think, 10, 15 years ago. Somebody gave us £50,000. And then we started giving money away and writing certain elements of our finance a few years ago in our church, and somebody gave us another £50,000 for a building. So we have this pencil for a building. Now, actually, interestingly, both sets of these people, initially when they gave it for a building, but they've kind of, at some point, unlocked it for not necessarily a building, but as a leadership, we still feel it's appropriate to pencil that for a building. So we went through a few years ago, we went and looked at a few buildings. So we looked at like one called St. Mark's. We looked at a snooker place as well. We looked at a nightclub on St. Peter Street. But God in it said no, and God said no, really, didn't show us anything at all. There was one point where we were meeting in two, but so we're meeting in that bit, which was even colder than this bit of Wesley Hall, and then we went back to the Beacons. We've done all sorts, but God has placed us here. At the moment we rent this building, we have no responsibility apart from moving chairs about and putting them in exactly the right place to the building, and God seems to showing us favour at Wesley Hall. That's one of the things. The other thing is, if we did want a building, what we want out of a building, when we've prayed previously as a church for a building, we want a building with a really nice worship sanctuary, and we want a building with lots of rooms for children work, and we want a building with a car park, and we want a building with areas for ministry for the poor, and we want a building, you know, there was a big checklist of what we wanted out of a building, and then we kind of were sat in that building, effectively. We're sat in it, really, you know, very, very beautiful, where, you know, all these things. So there's been a sea change where, you know, as an eldership and a leadership and other words of knowledge and things like that, is actually I think we need to ask God for Wesley Hall. I think that's what I would like to do, and I would like to ask God for the Methodists to give us Wesley Hall. Now,
give you or sell you?
Don't know. Or either. Well, whatever. Whatever you got faith for, Margaret. Whatever you got faith for.
I think you should give it to us, because there are £1,000 to spend on.
Yes.
Possibly.
Like
yes. Yeah. So whatever. So it's our damn. So one of the things we're going to do over this year is I want a period. Andy Parr is going to come in April and do some teaching on prayer and fasting. And I want to have a period of prayer, not specifically for Wesley Hall, but for the church. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I think I'm going to rock up at maybe like 8 or 9 o'clock in that room over there. And I'm going to pray every morning during the weekday. The times may be different, I don't know. But I want a period of time of focused prayer on different areas of the church. And part of that will be praying about God leading us for a building. And we want Wesley Hall. And now God might not want us to have Wesley Hall. If he doesn't, he'll probably have better plans, I suspect. But actually, before we actually ask the Methodists to give us Wesley Hall, I think we need to seek God and pray and fast before we do anything. Now, there's a billion other considerations, because we haven't really got enough money to have Wesley Hall. Well, we have, but God, you know, to manage this building is a frightening prospect. I don't really want to not be doing what I'm doing now. I don't want to spend most of my time managing a building. I don't want to be a church that becomes all about a building. I don't want to be a church that has a building, locks it on Sunday morning, goes home, never does anything about. However, I want this building to shine for it was dedicated when it was built for the glory of God, and for the moment it's not being used for the glory of God. It is not being used, and it needs to be used for the glory of God again. And I would love to be part of that plan in God's church, to rededicate this church, this building, back to the glory of God. So the honest answer is yes, and also I have no idea what God's going to do. So that. But for the moment, unless they kick us out, we are at Wesley Hall. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. What are your thoughts about that, John?
Pardon?
What are your thoughts about that?
I agree with everything that you've said.
Okay, fab.
Well, the reverence is missing.
Yeah.
On occasions, you know, the reverence. Mm. And that's what I feel. Apart from that, you've explained vision and all that very well.
Mm.
But how do you see your vision on evangelism?
Mm.
because I refer to leaflets as being part of the evangelism. Yeah. And it's died. There's still 4,000 at my house to do, and not much chance of doing it at the moment. But what is, apart from that, what is your vision on evangelism?
So I shall. Is that one of the questions? Yes. Well done, John. So before I do that, what do you mean by not reverent? So you're talking about the building, or you're talking about the service? Which one are you?
Which what?
So you said reverence.
What do I mean? The tea first before the service. Maybe I'm a little bit old-fashioned, I don't know. But you come into the house of God, and it's... You said something last Wednesday about God, and you said, I will be in awe. And I'm in awe. But when you come in, doesn't appear to be the reverence. It may not be just the tea thing, and I don't know. It's the lateness of starting the service, you know, the reluctance to stop talking and start the service.
Brilliant question. Let me deal with evangelism first, yeah. And then we'll deal with the service. Is that all right? Yeah. Is it? Because it's a great question. Right. Is that all right? Do you want me to? So evangelism. There's two parts of it, and again, historically, what's been preached, even if it hasn't exactly been preached, that basically, therefore, go out into the world and make 3 new Christians by next Thursday, right? That was pretty much the message that sometimes, not necessarily in those exact words, but was given out. Now, there's actually, as Christians, there's nothing that we can do on our own that can go and make Christians. That making disciples is different, but actually making Christians we cannot do, because it requires a movement of God's Spirit, and God's Spirit goes wherever he goes. If you read John, that's God's Spirit really does move, so and it's very, very random sometimes why some people will come to faith, some people won't come to faith, whatever. So our job is what we've done over the last 2 or 3 years is really smash that view, really, and speak. We want to be much more kingdom-minded and sowing seeds for the kingdom. So the leaflets, exactly, are seeds for the kingdom of God. Yeah. So every one of those, the way it was a seed for the kingdom of God. Every time you talk to somebody about your faith, every time you mourn with somebody, every time you make somebody a brew and pray for them, every time we pray for somebody on healing on the streets, every time we do anything for Christ is a seed for the kingdom of God. And if you go read what Jesus says about evangelism, he talks about sowing seeds for the kingdom. And there's a great story in John's chapter 4, after he's talked to the woman at the well and told her prophetic evangelism, told her where she is with people and her 5 husbands, etc. The disciples go into the village, everybody's becoming a Christian, they're thinking everything's going fantastic, and Jesus says a really weird thing. He says, blessed are those who sow, and blessed are those who harvest. And today, you've harvested where other people have sowed seeds. And there'll be times where you will sow seeds and other people will harvest for the kingdom of God. Yeah? So it's not an exact science. So we as a church cannot control where we're going to harvest. We can't control that. Yeah, and trying to control that, that doesn't mean we don't do it, but trying to control that will fail. So telling people to go make 4 new Christians by next Thursday, if you're not doing it, you're not a good Christian, for me is a no-go. However, I believe that there's something called God economy. And I think when you step out in faith in something, God very often honours that faith in a different place. So I'm very interested, is you watch, when we go out on healing on the streets, Okay, and we step out in faith. It's bizarre, the service, we seem to have loads of visitors, loads of new people, loads of, just randomly. And the more that we step out in faith in evangelism, the more God, the more likely we are to receive a harvest, and the more God, because he's gracious, will honour that. Yeah. Now that isn't an excuse not to give testimony to what Jesus has done in your life. That is not an excuse to say nothing or give an account when you're asked why you're a Christian. That is not an excuse not to evangelise. It's not an excuse. And actually, as a church, the next year, I want to see more people come through to the Lord. I want to see more people saved. Do you not want to see more people saved? Definitely, we want to see our church grow, not from coming from other churches. We want to see salvations. We want to see God move. Why? Because we love people. Why? Because we want to see God's rule and reign throughout. How that's going to exactly work out, I don't know. Yeah. So presently, evangelism-wise, yes, I think actually, whether I love the leaflets, it raises the faith of the church. We receive, when you step out in faith, you will receive, very often you receive a harvest. Healing on the street, I love healing on the street. It's fun. It's not for everybody, but it is part of our evangelism. You know, Alpha is amazing. It's part of our evangelism. Do I want to do more as an eldership? Yes, I do. Because the more that you sow seeds, the more in faith you step out, the more you do, the more you're going to see God move. Honestly, the more, and I want more. I'm excited by what God can do. You know, I want more and more and more and more and more and the more. So if you want to do evangelism and do more, let's do. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but you know, as a church, yeah, let's do as much, because I want to do as much damage this church with the light of the world. Yeah, let's go do as much damage as we can to Satan for the God's kingdom as we possibly can, in as many ways that we think we can. Just let's do it. So yes. So I do want more evangelism. What that exactly looks like, we need to pray and think about. If anybody's got something burning on their heart, let's do it. Let's do it. If it's good, let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. But there is a lot of evangelism and sowing seeds of the kingdom of God all the time taking place. But do we want more? Yes, we do, John. Yes, we do. Does that answer the question?
As an individual, we've got to be responsible.
Absolutely. Do we want to deliver your leaflets? Yes, we do. I think we should box them off and deliver them. Yeah? Yes, we do. And let's see what God does. You know, if that's the time and the place.
The question that the person is there, the building, your future, your vision and everything, and with so much to offer that we should be shouting it. You know, if I was going healing on the streets, I don't know whether it says Community Church Blackman in big letters on your chest or on your forehead or something, but everybody should be aware of this church. Yeah. And there's some people may think, oh, it's a Methodist church, you know, on a Sunday.
That's a different. Go on, Carol.
Can I just jump in with that? Because we had a lady the other week, came to healing on the streets. Me and Michelle prayed for her. Didn't say anything about church. Yeah. We prayed for her. She came that Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
So we don't need to push, we don't need to have it tattooed on her foreheads that we're community.
Absolutely.
Church. She was given a leaflet that said we're healing. It has our name on, it has Reignite on, and it has Vineyard on. She chose to come to us.
Absolutely. So this morning it felt quite empty. This is not the. But I always find it very, very interesting that the church seems to grow when we go out on faith in healing on the streets. I almost know what the service is going to be like. The two aren't exactly connected, but actually there's a God economy, and God is faithful, and we are growing. Honestly, we are, and we are seeing salvation. We want more, John. We want more. First question. Second question, John. Has anybody else got anything about evangelism? Go on, Adam.
How do you become involved in the church with evangelism?
You live your life for Christ, basically, Adam. That's what you do. Yeah, you are salt and light in the world, and you live. And when somebody asks you a question, you give an account of what Jesus has done in your life. Yeah. Now, not everybody are gifted, anointed evangelists. They're not. There's three parts of evangelism. There's the part that's the evangelist, which is Mark Sprenger, and he's gifted. He's anointed. He's part. And we're not all meant to be like that. Sometimes the church is given the impression that we're all supposed to be like Mark Sprenger. That's not the case. There's the mission of the church, which is to go out into the world and make disciples, not Christians. Disciples is a very, very key difference, because when you catch fish, you've got to strip them, yeah, and you've got to cook them. But then there's actually, there's the part that Jesus says, if somebody asks you what you got, why are you like you are, you have an obligation to give an account what Jesus has done in your life as a thanksgiving to him. You do. So there's like three parts of it. It's not all the same. So just live your life and sow as many seeds for the kingdom of God in as many ways as you can.
Maybe if there was an opportunity at your workplace, which would be school, to share your testimony, you could do that. You did do that, didn't you?
There you go.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing you can do is encourage other people to, one of the main thing that makes you excited to share your faith is if your faith is healthy. So we have a responsibility, don't we, to make sure Absolutely. That we're close to God and excited by God, so excited that it spills over whenever we talk, but also to make church a place that we're really excited to be, so that we can go to people and say, come and join us with great confidence, because we love to be part of this family and we want other people to be part of this family. So contributing to this family is another really, really good way, indirect way of evangelising, really. Because when other people invite people in, they're going to be greeted by friendly Adam on the door.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I think Jesus is brilliant. Yeah. I think he's well good. He's like, why would you not want to? So their question is, why don't you? Actually, a penny dropped for me. Why wouldn't you? He's brilliant. It's like, if you want to sort somebody's life out, it's like, just tell them about Jesus. Like, because he's the answer, really, isn't it? He's like, brilliant. Anyway, I ramble. But anyway, so evangelism, so service. Okay. So being reverent, right. So our services, okay, we've done a lot of tweaking over that you won't even see. But one of the things is, I agree with you, we want to start on time. Because it's very, very simple. Let our yes be our yes, and our no be our no. And if we say we start at 10:30, we should start at 10:30. So that's what we should be aiming for. However, there is also the fact that church is family. Yeah, and actually, in all our things, we need to be gracious and kind and understanding that the church is a set of people, not a process that we're walking through or a set of timings that they're walking through. So there's give and take. So if the congregation are aware, we would like to start on time at 10:30. We are much, 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 much better at starting on time than we were. And as a leadership, certainly, and people leading the service, my instruction is that we start on time. Okay. Now, in a church service, believe it or not, if you go to an Anglican church, you go through something called a liturgy. Yeah, so that's been, has anybody been in an old-fashioned Anglican church with a service book? And that liturgy takes you all the way through it, almost like a journey with Jesus and church, really. And actually, we have that liturgy in community church, but not the same as the Anglican one, but actually there's different times for different things in our church service. So time for having a brew, there is a time to be family. There is a time before the service to welcome newcomers, because that's our time, to have a brew, to chat, to talk, to build friendship, build relationship, and that's part of our liturgy. Yeah, the next part of our liturgy is there's time to come here and then we pray. or part of our literature is the people leading or involved in the service, or anybody who wants to come can pray. That's part of our liturgy. So we lift up God, we lift the service to God, we dedicate it to it, and then we worship. That's part of our, and a lot of our worship will be how good God is, how good Jesus is. You know, we come to the feet of Jesus, you know, and that's part of our liturgy. You know, sometimes we have communion, we should have it more, but actually that's where we remember that Christ died. So there is a liturgy, and not all parts of the liturgy have the same purpose. Does that, you know, so Bruce at the end, again, he's bringing peace and fellowship and building relationships. They've all got different moving parts, yeah? Now, when we're praying, and when we're worshipping, and when should we be always in the presence of God, and should we be holy and reverent? Yes, we should. When somebody's preaching and declaring the word of God, should you be chatting or should be listening to what God's? Yes, you should. When you're having a brew and making each other feel welcome and enjoying each other, should you be enjoying each other and chatting and having? Yes, you should. So there's a time and a place for everything, and actually there's different parts of the liturgy. Now, the liturgy that we have, I like. It doesn't mean we won't change it at some point. But I think that brings us most into the presence of God. Yeah? Does that answer your question, John? Yeah? Now, with the services as well, the thing, as a preaching team, as a leading team, I am learning, and they, the other people are learning, and we're making steps and we're moving, but there's a few things that we've done. So I mean, we've probably extended as a period of worship. That's one of the things we've done. We spend more time dwelling in the presence of God, which I think is a good thing. We've probably contracted our preaching time, which although sounds terrible, but actually I think that makes it more succinct, and is honouring to all the other pieces of the puzzle that are going in. And again, we want to be direct, and we want to, you know, not give you digestion, you know, indigestion really. The leading, you know, we've taken, we want to move that down to proportionate, so it's not too much content going in that and whatever. But the main thing, that the thing I think my heart is, there's probably two things I want to do. I want more pictures and visions and tongues and prophecies, and I want space for that to really dwell in the presence of God. And also, I quite like to rip up the run sheet sometimes and do something completely different, or not intentional, but actually sometimes God just does come and say, you're not doing that today. So we might not preach one time, I don't know, yeah, but actually we need to dwell in the Holy of Holies. And do, you know, do that. So there's a lot of work. We're learning. Some weeks it will go right. Some weeks it won't go quite as right, you know. But actually, God honours it, and it's fine. It's okay, and we learn and we move on and whatever. One of the things is as well with our service, I have no intention to be seeker friendly. That doesn't mean I don't welcome people in, but we are weird, and we're here to worship God. Yeah, and actually God is at the forefront, and we're going to preach God's word, and we're going to worship, and that's how we are, in the way that we are, because that's who we are. Yeah, now we need to make people as welcome and make everything as accessible as we can, and maybe sometimes we need to try a little bit harder than that with it, but actually we are who we are as a church, and you know, and our services will evolve and will change and be different as time goes on, but there are times for reverence and there are times for joy. There are times for talking and doing a Pete McCombs and high five or fist pump or whatever, and there's a time for kneeling at the feet of the Father, Jesus, at the cross in worship. There are times where, you know, God will deal with difficult things in people's lives, and there will be time where people will be filled with the Spirit and slain in the, all sorts of things will be happening where the Spirit will move. There'll be times when the service just ends and we go for a brew. There'll be difference, you know, and that's good. That's good. Yeah. Is that all right?
Absolutely fantastic. I'm just aware that time's going on. So anyway, if we want to deal with any other areas, but it's really good to have the full answer, isn't it, to really hear Steve's heart. Did that answer your question, John? Ish. Even if it didn't, we probably should see if anybody else has another question, because otherwise we might get stuck on that, mightn't we? So does anybody else have any other question? Then we could maybe come back to John later on. Adam, you've already asked some questions as well, haven't you?
Well done, Adam.
But well done for asking all the questions.
The 100 grand that we thought
yeah.
Is that sit at the moment? We were talking about things like green pastures and things like that, weren't
so,
we? Sorry.
So it still sits there. We haven't done anything with green pastures yet. The reason being is there's an organisation called Stewardship. And what they do is they make sure that everything that the trustees do is right and above board. And almost they're almost like an advisory panel to the trustees. Now, what they do actually, they read through all our minutes of our leadership meetings, and they pick out millions of questions, and then they go through they send us millions of questions. Or they're brilliant as an organisation, but they're protecting the congregation, they're making sure that we're accountable, and they're advising us very, very well. What they advise was, before we give £100,000 to any organisation, that we seek financial advice. So what we're in the process...
Yeah, the particular difficulty with green pastures is that it's unregulated. Okay, so where if we put £100,000 into a bank, we wouldn't get any interest on it, and we wouldn't be helping to provide accommodation for the poor. It wouldn't be going to a Christian... it wouldn't be a Christian investment. But if the bottom fell out of it, you know, if it was a disastrous investment, the government would underwrite it, at least to a certain degree. Whereas if we put this £100,000 or even part of it into green pastures, essentially that's an unsecured investment. Okay, so they're very respectable, and we've heard from, you know, Pastor Pete, who came and talked to us, you know, his heart is for the poor. It's exactly what we've been talking about, and it would be wonderful to invest that money and get a much higher rate of interest and help to support this fantastic work that they're doing. But Stewardship, who are basically kind of helping the trustees to be kind of right in terms of charity commission and everything, and making sure that money is wisely invested, have very wisely said it would be good for the trustees to have some financial advice, so that you know, everybody knows what they're doing, and you know, that has been a really good whoa thing for us, really. It may be that we kind of split the money up and do something a bit more kind of rounded with it, really, rather than give it all to impact, just for that wisdom, the caution that Stewardship have brought to us, really. So at the moment, we're probably going to, we have the financial manager at Cornerstone is a Christian, and we're planning to do something creative with him, maybe a Skype or something like that, to get some financial advice. It's in a bank
still. We're on with it, but we just make sure we need to do it right. That's really, really important. Yeah. So I would, yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah. So we are on with it.
Yeah. Good question, though. Good question. Really good question.
I just want to ask about finances and giving, because I'm sure that Gina's prepared a lot of stuff for us.
So Gina does a vast, vast, vast amount of work. In fact, let me hand this out. But what I've tried to do, what it does, it produces vast, vast, vast amounts of spreadsheets, and lots. You have to ask it lots of different questions that are very confusing sometimes and confuse us. So what I've done, I've tried to summarise the best I can where we are and what we do. Because it sounds like a very straightforward question, but it's not. So the bottom line is at the bottom. Well, at the bottom is where I put it. So it's basically, Gina produces something and has given things out about each month, but what I've actually done is produce something that basically gives you the bottom figures for the full year, and then tell you how that money was spent and how much we spent. There is context around this, so we talked about this last year. But as a church, outside, so this is giving you what we spent in last year and what we received in only last year. So this is almost like a current account, in and out, is this effectively. The context of this is, as we've discussed, we have, as a church, the £100,000, which is penciled for a building fund, and then on top of that, we have £37,000 and a bit in a savings account. Okay, so the church roughly has about 140-ish, slightly under that, £1,000 in money at any one time as it stands. Now what we've done this year, and again it's down to what stewardship has told us to do, we've set aside 6 months running costs for the church, which is about £25,000 in basically safety capital. So if everybody died, I don't know what church, all of the playing crowd, I don't know what scenario, everybody, if we left all at once, there is still 6 months capital. There's so many scenarios where we could try and do that, but anyway, if that scenario happened, there is 6 months running cost to kind of meet the church's financial obligations, which are very, very few. Actually, the only real obligation is probably my wage. I think pretty much everything else could be stopped immediately if you all left. So that sounds terrible, doesn't it? So you've put £25,000 aside for my wage. No, you haven't. So the stewardship gave us that as a good. So out of that, so we actually have around £10,000 working capital. That's what we have. It's around that figure, okay, to dip in, not dip in and out, but actually in the washing machine. Now, what comes in and what comes out is at the bottom. So in 2017, the total giving for the year, so the total income, and this includes direct debits, standing orders, and gift aid, was £49,782.57. The giving in 2018, which is from January to December 2018, was £48,702.90. Okay. Now the total expenditure is £55,069.77, and then 2018 we spent £55,873.24. However, there are caveats to that. So there are a few different figures because the way that we deal with our finances is a little bit different. One of the big differences, so this is also a list of what we spent the money on. So that figure, what do we spend it on? So obviously the biggest outlay for the church is wages, which is my wage, and the associated costs that like pension and auditing and also not auditing but payroll and things like that, yep. In land revenue. The next one is rent for Wesley Hall. Now you can see from 2017 to 2018 that's gone up by £2,000. There's two reasons for that. First of all, it has gone up what they charge us a little bit, but actually we're using far more space and far more of the building effectively. So giving, so that's the money that we've been talking about that we give away. Youth work and New Day. Now the caveat with that, £3,440. New Day doesn't actually cost that full amount. Where the complication is, it actually costs the church far less than that because people paid back ticket prices and stuff, but split that off in this simple, it's very complicated. So the figure of the cost of the church is far less than that, but that was the total outgoings for youth work and New Day. And then devoted, which was 3,250. Now, that didn't cost that, but that was the outgoings of the church. A lot of that we got back, so that cost about 1,700 and something pounds to run New Day. Now, for example, devoted is something that we didn't do the year before, so that's an added cost to the church. So have a look at that. In summary, so we had a deficit last year of £7,170. It would be a little bit less than that when you calculate. It'd be a slightly different figure, but it'd be a much more complicated sum. Although that's not where we want to be, yeah, that's not... It's hopeful. It's hopeful. So one of the things that we've seen giving from the days of Andy Parr, that's what I use, kind of plateau, and then it kind of went woof like that, and then it's slowly creeping back up, and that's only really happened for the last 3 months. So our giving, actually, from the beginning of 2018 to the end of 2018 is very, very different. The other thing I want to stress is Community Church Blackburn gives incredibly. This is not a gloom story. So you as a church this year have given £49,000 as a small body of really 30 to 40 members. Now that is incredible. That's not a bad news story. That's a good news. That's incredible. Now, two things we've got done as well is, I don't think, unfortunately, we're only going to spend more money. Now, not ridiculously, but actually the costs for the church are only going to go up, but they need to go up in the right way. So, for example, we want to spend far more money on evangelism. We want to spend far more money on ministries that build the kingdom of God. That's very, very important. We hope we haven't wasted any money, and I don't believe that we have wasted any money. And if anybody wants to see the exact ledgers of what we spent, exactly what we spent, feel free to do it. We have also set a budget. So in the last 2 years, we've had an idea. It's been, because there's been so many changes and done so many things, it's been very difficult to quite pin down what we expect to spend as a church, and now we kind of know what we're going to expect. So to run Community Church Blackburn base level costs between £50,000 to £55,000. We know that it's somewhere around that. What sort of things, and as well, as a church we are blessed with with more than we deserve, really. So, you know, to put into context, the whole of the Methodist circuit in West Pennine, you know, has something around £250,000 in finances between the whole of all the churches. You know, now we have something around £150,000, you know, as our small church. So, although we want to live within our means and we want to spend wisely, and we don't want to see, so I don't really want to see too much like that. It's going in the right direction. God is good, and we mustn't let finances stop us doing anything wisely for the kingdom of God. Because money is there to build. This money is there to build the kingdom of God. It is there to build. It's not our money, it's God's money. It's your money, you've given faithfully, but it's God's money. Any other? So, any other questions? I'm sure there'll be lots.
That's a good, really good summary. Any other questions about finance or about anything else?
If anybody wants to see the ledger sheets anytime, you're more than welcome to come round to see me. I've got them on. I have got them on my iPad today, hopefully, if I've connected to Jeffrey correctly. So if anybody wants to see them now, that's not a problem. Yeah. But it's all, you'll be able to see everything on there.
The other thing we've done as well, this made Gina very, very happy, is we've installed a new system to manage our finances. Now, it doesn't do the figures or how we spend, but actually things like gift aid, things like stewardship and trustee stuff, things like, it takes hours. It took me hours and hours to all the expenditure and what I've spent here and there. We've got a wonderful system called Expense Plus that is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It is just incredible.
Yeah, it's so good. So
I could have kissed the man when he came.
She did a little squeal of joy when she so we're putting in the structures to do it. In the future, we need to have faith with finances, because we might want to employ a youth worker, we might want to employ somebody to run Ministry to the Poor, we might want to have Wesley Hutt. It's money is scary, and it should be in some ways scary, but also we need to be sensible and honouring, but it should be scary. Any quick, please ask, we are an open book.
Okay, any more questions? I'm aware that there's people who've sat very quietly. Any questions? Paul? Irene? Bill? No? Okay. If there's no other questions, is there anything else that you want to report on, Steve, that you think might be really important for us to know about?
So that's a breakdown of my time on top of that. So that's good, because actually the biggest expenditure for the church is my wage. So you have really, I would say, a right to know what I do. If you want to see what I do with my time, please ask me. I will quite happily, within reason, tell you. The leadership team gets a report every week of what I do with my time. So that doesn't mean so it'll say like pastoral meeting or, but actually they'll see to make me accountable. So it's so important. So that's that. Services, serving. So serving, again, from a positive point of view, this church serves incredibly well. Yeah, it's just wonderful. So it's wonderful to see the stuff I've always said that we do big church operations with little church amount of people. So, and actually, it's amazing how stuff happens. So guys like Paul and Irene, all the stuff that they've done, I'm choosing Paul and Irene, but you all serve, you all spend hours and hours and hours. It is incredible. I just want to say thank you. If there are areas where we struggle, I would still say the younger children's work are the areas that we really need to pray into. We need to pray, because that's where we seem to go, everything, particularly like the creche, particularly Shining Stars. That's part of building. One of the things that we are going to be doing is like Jeff touched on it a little bit, but out of the child protection stuff, and actually it's a lot of what Lisa does actually at the Art Project, they recruit volunteers, and we've not been so good at telling you. So for example, Dan, we go, Dan, you're in children's work, and we give him no idea of what's involved in that or what the expectations are of that or whatever. We'll just go, oh, can you do this? And we just assume. So we've not been very good at telling you what is kind of expected, what is done. So at some point I'm going to be working through the church and actually just working all the roles within the church. That is not to be a clamp on you need to do this, you need to do that. It's part of putting the structure in place for when we grow. That's very, because as you have new people and part of membership, and so it's part of that piece of work. So that's going to be happening. But again, you it's a massive piece of work. You do it incredibly. Serving good, give yourself a round of applause. But if you want to come into children's work, the younger ones, that's the place. Would you be right, Michelle? Yeah, and Lisa? And yeah, definitely. That's where we really, really struggle. And that's actually, they're better evangelists than us, aren't they, Francis? If you want to go where the action is, you need to get in Chinese stores.
Yeah.
Anything. Devoted New Day, Jeff and Angela do a great job with that. That's fantastic. Youth and Children's Work, our youth rule. They were brilliant yesterday. School of God Rock,
is brilliant. You know, it's a real blessing. You know, relationship with church is Christ central. If you want to ask me about that, I'll tell you about it. Work the poor covered, evangelism covered, building covered, church vision and purpose. Now, if you Google every single church and you listen to their preaches, there'll be at least 1 week in the church where the pastor gets up at the church and tells the church what we're going to do for this year and where we're going to go and all this. And he preaches, and it's a big, you must have heard of vision services, yeah? I have no idea what God's going to do in the next year.
And how much money we're going to
need. Pardon? Yeah. I don't know, in fairness. Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't...
That's what they preach on.
Pardon?
That's what they preach on.
What?
And how much money they're going to need to do.
How much, yeah. So I don't believe... So really, we are not a business... Yeah, although we do have visions and values, and we do have a direction, and we do have things to do, like working to get the eldership and the leadership right, and managing things and putting, you know, good structure into things and whatever. We are a family on our venture with God. We're not a business, although there are business things that come into it. We are a family, and what God is going to do, I do not know. I know it's going to be fantastically fun. You know, I'm very excited because I get excited every single week. You know, what we see, excited by you. One of the things, few things that we're going to be pushing and working on this year is probably one of the things I'd love to see is worship. So we've stayed with a guitar and a Mr. B and singers, but actually wouldn't it be wonderful to have drums and a bass and have, you know, a worship band? So that's one of the things that we're praying for, and you know, and build, doing all sorts of things. So Jeff is presently having a nerves breakdown because he's just thinking, we're going to put the drum kit, where are we going to put the wires, but actually it's something, you know. So we still have a vision for having a bus full of people, young people, to New Day. That's part of a vision that God has given us. You know, we want to keep growing, and we are growing as a church, you know. So this morning there's a lot of people, Paul, but actually we are double the size we were at the Beacon Centre, so I, you know, would consider the double the amount of members of our church as there were, you know, and you probably will feel that in services slowly, bit by bit, you know. So the amount of people, and that's why we need elders, that's why we need, you know, other things. My objectives for last year were to just get the growth groups on a more even keel and get the prayer meeting there, and that's what we've done. When we pray, I mean, that's a delight of my heart. Every Sunday evening is the prayer meeting. This year's objective for me is to really, work on this eldership and the leadership of the church, because that's very, very important. But do I want to go work with students? Yes, I do. Do I want to work with young people? Yes, I do. Do I want to do everything that we possibly can? Yes, I do. May God give us the opportunity to do that? He might do. In what order he does that, I don't know, is the honest question. But, you know, God is good. And, you know, I used to say, and I don't say it as much now, is that we need to change the way that we think, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. We need to change the way that we think, because the kingdom of God is God is an awesome God. What can he do? You know, he's only limited by our faith and our imagination, really, and our capacity for stuff. You know, what do you want to see God do? Let's do it. Let's have a dance with God. You know, I don't know what you guys say, but like, what he's got, I have no idea what he's going to do. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be really, really. Any of the leadership team? Anything to add? Any leadership team?
I think absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I'd just really like to say, on behalf of the leadership team and on behalf of the church, I think, thank you, Steve and Lisa. You are wonderful. Wonderful elders. Well, I'm calling you elder and wife, really, aren't you? But you're wonderful. You're a wonderful elder, and you're a wonderful elder's wife. You're wonderful people. So, and we're really, really glad to have you leading the church. Thank you.
I'll give you 20 quid after.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
If there's no other questions. Yeah.
I'll give you that 20 quid as well, Jim.
Yeah.
But, you know,
we're doing well. Mm. Is that so? You know, yeah. Our objectives are loving God, loving people, building God's kingdom. You know, we keep coming back to that. Loving God, loving people, building God's kingdom. And that's what I see all you guys doing. I see us loving God and growing in God more and more as a fellowship. Often, actually, when I'm preaching as well, I'm thinking, I don't need to tell you guys this. That's my main problem. It's like, you know. It's like, you clearly know by your actions and behaviour in the main. So it's very difficult to preach to you because... You know that you can come boldly into the presence of God and hold it, and you know that, you know, you might not always remember, but you know, so we're growing, you know, we're growing in our love for people. You know, every week there is a visitor. It's very, very rare there is not a visitor in our church, and that's and I tell you what, it's very rare that visitor is not welcomed, and that's not us, that's you. You know, and loved, you know, that's brilliant. So we're loving people, you know, building God's kingdom. That's the bit that will grow more and more and more, but he will. And he has plans, and it'll be more than we expect. And it'll be frightening, it'll be scary, it'll be brilliant. It'll be absolutely brilliant. Yeah, are you excited? Anyway, yeah. Somebody should pray. Yeah. Or else I'll just rant on.
We should pray, yeah.
In Jesus' Brill, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Adam.
Dear Lord, I just pray for this church, Lord. I just pray it's just an amazing place to be, Lord. You're around really happy people. And Lord, you make that happen, Lord. You fill everyone with the Holy Spirit, Lord. I just pray that you're so wonderful to us, Lord. You've given us what we want. And Lord, even though we can sometimes ask for stuff that you... don't particularly want, Lord, I just pray that you've helped us through it, Lord, and I just pray that you're so wonderful and you're amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I say one very, very last thing, because I forgot, I'm sorry, but one of the things that we're doing with the poor, I want to get more involved, is because where we are placed, we have refugees and asylum seekers coming to us. And one of the things we've been talking to organisations, an organisation called Welcome Churches, which is a network that links up refugees and asylum seekers and also kind of enables churches to better deal with refugees or understand refugees and asylum seekers. So that's one of the things or areas we might be looking at more. And that's the last thing I would say. Amen. Go on. Happy? Yeah. Fell in? Yeah.
Okay.
You sure you're no questions? You're far too nice. You should give us far.